So TAP is actually our hardware side of the brand. The brand itself is Whole Systems. What we're creating is basically a personalized AI companion, which will the point of it is really the memory. So unlike, for example, Rabbit, where they have more of an action-based approach, we're going for more of a memory-based approach, which means that almost like a human, when you're talking to it, it will personalize itself over time to you, based off your interactions. And TAP is our hardware side, basically. So on the software side, we're building out Operator, which is the what is going to integrate into TAP and basically allow it to have this memory.
Are they both the they both need each other to work, or is Operator like can you use it right now on the web?
So actually it's funny. So TAP is going to launch first before Operator. And you will be able to use Operator by itself. We're also planning on making an Apple Watch app for it. But TAP is almost like an extension of it, so you could use it in a much more seamless way without having to constantly pull out your phone. There's a listening mode where, for example, let's say I would set it right now in listening mode for this podcast, and it would just take information and intake different types of context that it finds interesting.
Does it do that automatically, or do you need to prompt it to say, hey, can you pull out like the five most important pieces from this conversation?
What it's doing is basically based off of your inputs, it's always extracting details that it finds important. And over time, based off its personalization to you, the details that it retrieves will get much more relevant to you. So it will learn what is important for you if in a way.
So it's sort of like you don't have to prompt it really, because over time it's going to learn what you want to prompt before you even have to prompt it, if you could, if that makes sense.
Exactly. So like out of the box, it's quite like a baby that you need to have it kind of like learn about you, and as it grows older, it starts actually being very helpful to you with connecting certain conversations you're having, being able to brief you on certain things, and eventually doing actions for you.
All right, cool. And what like got you into this? Do you have a background in hardware or like embedded devices or anything like that? Or what's your background?
Well, so I'm an indie maker. The first project that I made was actually digital contact cards. Do you guys know the like NFC contact cards that you like tap on? Yeah. So that was my first project, and then from then I started working on this other tool, which was called Bara. It was actually launched on Product Hunt. What we made was a tool for documentation, for AI documentation. So it was really meant for college students to take notes. Compared to Otter and some other competitors in that space, we had something unique where it would actually take quite comprehensible notes over long time, over long periods of time. So it was able to keep track of that, of conversations over long periods of time. And we basically just took that core and we're remaking it into Operator because we found that it's much more useful in that case.
Sure. So you, how did that tool work? Did it like record classes from a laptop, or and then sort of create notes from there for students, for example?
Yep, that's exactly what I did.
Wow. Awesome. How'd that go?
It went pretty well. We just didn't really do any outreach or marketing before. What we did is I gave it to my friends and just family, and they just really like the notes coming out of it. when they had it record for like an hour or two, let's say they just have a conversation and they want detailed documentation in a specific format. So they were able to get that over 3 hours of conversation. So that was really useful, but we realized that the system that we built out for basically the context system that we built out to facilitate that, we just decided to remake it into Operator.
Cool. Because they can sort of, instead of doing just notes, it can do pretty much anything that you'd
ever want. It's just, it'll just keep track of your whole life, basically, your whole memory.
So is there some platform that you can log into to kind of edit how your, as far as the device goes at least, that you can edit kind of your conversations and store things on and stuff like that? Or is it, how does that all work?
Once it's integrated into Operator, there will be what we will call a portal. And it will be like a web interface where you could log in. It will give you, not only will it give you just the data that's stored in there, it will give you much more detailed connections between your data. So if it sees correlations between certain topics that you're working on, so let's say you had a conversation here with a person that it listened to, and then you watch the podcast and it finds some interesting correlations between that that you could work on, or that it sees that you're like working towards, it will bring that up and showcase that, like, hey, this is maybe a interest point of yours, for example.
It looks like you have a team of people. Is it just two people max, or do you got more than that?
So we have a team of three people, and we also have one person that's helping us out with the launch currently.
Okay. And are you, just to be clear to the people listening, are you the founder of this, or is there a co-founder? And what's your role in the company?
Exactly. So it's me as the founder, and then my brother, who is the co-founder. I'd like to say that I'm more of like an idealist, and he's more of like, he's more practical, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You're like the guy that has all the ideas, say, let's get this done, this done, and this done, and he's the one that does it.
He's more like, he's more of the CFO, I would say.
Okay.
And then I would be more of the CTO.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that brings a good point, is like, if you know, if you're more like the CTO doing the hardware, is that, that like a lot of people have a lot of experience with software, you know, software developers, coders, programmers, but doing hardware is a completely different niche. Do you guys have a background on that, or you sort of just figured it out as you went?
Well, I have a background with talking with manufacturers, and so does my brother, based off of like just back, other stuff that we've done, business stuff with like the family. So we're quite comfortable with that. So, and we had quite a lot of connections that we could reach out and ask, you know, can we make this? How can we make this? Let's, you know, basically at this point, batch one is a sample run to see how the market will basically react, how people will use it, what will be the feedback, what features they will want. And from there, we will continue building out the software.
Awesome. And when do you guys look for batch one to be available? I know you guys have it's Kickstarter, right?
It's not a Kickstarter. It's just 400 units. We're launching early April.
Okay. My bad. Yeah.
Yeah. We're launching on Product Hunt, and it's just first come, first serve for the 400 units. We're launching ready to ship. So as soon as you buy it, we ship it.
Sweet. And those, you still have some available for the first batch if anyone wants to buy them right now.
Yeah. The 400 units will go live early April. Like, they're all available.
Awesome. No. I feel like anybody, like any hardware device for AI, like instantly sells out. I mean, I hope you guys, you know, do as well, but it's all about marketing as well. So I think you'll do very well. We'll see how it goes, but it's exciting to release a hardware product in the AI space for sure.
Yeah, definitely. This is the first week that we started kind of actually publicly talking about it and communicating with people and potential customers. So, and we've seen a very good response so far, right? People are very interested in supporting us and just buying the product itself.
And it's pretty reasonably priced. What's the price again?
$59.
Yeah, that's super cheap compared to like the Rabbit, which is, I forget what that is. Was that over $400 or something? But in terms of like, you know, you alluded to earlier, you're different than the Rabbit, but can you maybe walk through some specific examples of like how your product works, Tap works, and what it does in relation to Rabbit and how they're different? Like maybe with specific examples, if you could give some.
For sure. Are you speaking to the current form factor of Tap or the one where it's integrated with Operator?
When it's integrated with Operator, because that's probably your longer term vision. So I'd love to hear that.
Great. Okay. That's definitely much more interesting.
All right.
So basically with Rabbit, I mean, I don't have a Rabbit personally, so I can only go off of what I've seen, but it seems to be much more action-based where you could teach it with their LAM model. You could teach the Rabbit to do certain things for you, like ordering Ubers and DoorDash, stuff like that. And other automations, you know, work-based and stuff like that, which are definitely very useful. But we believe that creating a memory-first approach will later on allow us to make the actions it takes much more impactful. What I mean is, basically, it needs to learn who you are before it could do stuff for you. You want it to understand what you want as a person, right? It wants you need it to be completely personal to you before you trust it to start taking actions on your behalf.
Gotcha. So like, for example, right now, on just to make it a little bit more clear for the end user here, or the people that might use your product one day, is like, if you're using ChatGPT, you know, the context is rather small right now. You might be able to upload a couple articles and it only knows about those articles when you ask a question about, you know, that article. If you want to summarize the articles or do whatever you want with them, create highlights for them. But with your tool, the context is going to be kind of unlimited from what I'm hearing you say. Like, it's going to learn, you know, five, if you have the same product, which I'm sure you'll have many iterations of it, but if you have the same product now from Tap and you still had it 5 years later in that perfect scenario, like, it's going to learn over that 5 year time. Whereas, you know, these chatbots right nowadays just know a very small context window. Is that sort of summarize it in layman's terms?
Exactly. But the main thing that I would want to, from a privacy standpoint, that I would want to say is it's not collecting a log of exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
What it's doing is it's out of the things that you do say, let's say you're discussing a party you're going to on a specific date. It's not going to collect the whole conversation. It's just going to be like, okay, that's an important thing. This date, you're going to this party. Let's keep that. Let's, you know, save that. And later on, maybe you say something and I realize that you're saying that you're going to go to something else the same day. And it's going to tell you, oh, wait, you have a party that day. You know, so it's able to act as a reminder, as a calendar, and all of that at once, basically.
That's really cool, because most of the time you would think it would need all the data all the time, but it's going to learn what data it needs via your past conversations with it. So like, that's a huge help for privacy. Awesome. In terms of like using it, is the device always on listening, or how does that work?
So we will have different inputs. Most of the time people will use like the conversation input, where you just tap press and you talk to it, you say something, you let go, it answers. But we'll also have a mode which is like listening mode, which you could, we're not sure exactly how you're going to switch into it on the actual Tap device yet. It'll probably be like a double click or something like that, where you'll basically let it like listen to a whole conversation. So it could be 20 minutes and you're just letting it listen along. So there's different inputs, and obviously there's a privacy light to let people know that's it's active when it's
working. No, that's cool. That's one of the questions I was going to ask you. And what about, like, if say, what's the battery life like? Do you know yet, since it hasn't really been tested in the wild?
Well, I have the sample. It's sitting behind me, actually.
Oh, sweet.
And my whole team has their samples. Operating time is 17 hours.
Awesome. And that's if it's listening the whole time, or is that?
Exactly. So that's when it's actually active, when you're talking to it and when it's talking back. When it's on standby, it's around a month.
Holy crap. That's awesome. It's just nice that you can have a device that you can plug in overnight and it will last all day. And that's what your product will do for the most part.
Yeah, that's something we say, that it's going to outlast you during the day. So
how big is it and how well does it listen? Can it hear a conversation that I'm having with somebody far away, or do the person have to be like right into the...
Yeah, we'd love to see it.
One second, let me grab it.
No worries.
Here's the tap.
Oh, it's so tiny.
It's actually a lot smaller than I thought it was, even off on your website.
So yeah, cool. It's really small. So let me... Do you guys want to see it work in action?
We'd love that. That'd be great. Yeah.
Hey, what's the weather in New York like right now?
The current weather in New York City. New York is 34 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny. The temperature is expected to reach 49 degrees Fahrenheit during the day.
That's sweet. It's really a very like crystal clear.
Yeah, clear. I was about to say that.
Yeah, I was worried that you guys wouldn't hear that. But if you have headphones connected to your phone, it'll play through the headphones.
Oh, sweet. So how does it work? Like, I've got this. I don't know if you heard this. There's this. I've got a 2-year-old daughter, and we have this toy called Grem. It's by what's the girl that dated Elon Musk? His name I forget. But anyways. It's an AI toy, and you can talk to it, and it responds back. It uses ChatGPT, and it connects to your Wi-Fi. But it's always on. So, like, if I can't have it on and just have a conversation with my wife or have a conversation with my kids, because it's always listening to all three of us talk, and then it will like answer questions, even though I'm asking the question to my wife. I guess the solution that you guys have to that is you can have it. You would just turn it off at that point, not have it. The listening, you want to have it on the listening, the feature for your tool, at least.
For sure. And besides that, for operator, we're also working on a voice ID option. So in the app, you'll be able to basically create an ID for your voice. And in loud environments, like at a party or something, you'll be able to talk to it and it will actually pick up specifically on your voice and know that that's the question that you're asking. And whatever else is going on is other people.
That's awesome. That's a huge win, because it's so annoying to put that things on. So that's sweet that you guys thought of that. That's awesome.
I want to ask your opinion on, you know, we see a lot of the AI hardware solutions gaining a lot of popularity. Like Ryan said, Tap, we see with your product. And then, like we've alluded to before, like the Rabbit R1, we've seen the Humane AI pin. There's been rumors of AI glasses. What is kind of your vision for AI more generally as it makes its way into more hardware solutions?
I think that something Sam Altman said in a Greylock interview is really our vision for this. Basically, the question he was asked was, what startups will win in the AI space, right? And he said that he believes that there'll be a couple of foundational models. So you see that in terms of GPT from OpenAI, Gemini from Google, and there's a couple of more. But besides those, that's not where the win for startups in AI is. It's really about building the middle layer. So not creating some wrapper app around GPT for Instagram hashtags or something, but really creating something that is, you know, the way you interact with your computer, something that you talk to medical advice about, or in our case, like a friend. right? So something that is basically your best friend and understands you to that level where you can, you don't have to really over-explain yourself to it because it understands you based off previous context. And just like people understand each other based off of, I'm sure you guys are able to talk to each other much more fluently than I'm able to talk to you guys, just because you guys know each other for so long.
Do you think the middleware that is going to help startups survive, you know, because like you said, there's only going to be a few major players, is going to be a hardware interface like you have that sort of, you know, could we, like NVIDIA just released with Hippocratic.ai, an AI nurse, right? And I think it uses iPads with avatars on the screen for nurses. But is that how you sort of envision it from what you're saying?
I believe that it could either be a software approach or hardware or both in our case. There's a lot to do to build around large language models and other AI models that will give you this, you know, middle layer approach, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. Yeah, it's like because Hunter and I, we're trying to, you know, launch a few products in the AI space, and it's hard because you think, oh, I've got a great idea, and then you a couple weeks later, OpenAI released something that was sort of like put your startup out of business. So it's a very different world to think about, because sometimes you have to think about the future, but it's a risk to take if you're going to build your whole interface around like OpenAI's API or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that is a win for TAP that the other competitors are kind of stemming away from, mm-hmm. which is basically being powered by these large APIs. I don't think that Humane's and I'm not trying to down them. I think their products are great, but the most correct approach to an AI wearable, I think leveraging what OpenAI and or Google has built out and just kind of connecting your product to that is the best way currently.
One thing that stood out from what you said is you said your TAP is going to be like your almost like your best friend. Is that sort of like kind of eye-opening in a way, because it's going to know everything about you, but that's makes a lot of sense from what you described this product is.
So does that scare you or does that excite you?
I would say when you first mentioned that, it doesn't scare me at all. I think it's like cool. I guess the scary thing about it, and this topic keeps on coming up in our podcast over and over again, is the fact that why would anybody, you know, if the AI is going to get so good, why would you want to speak to anyone other than your AI best friend? You know, because it's going to know you better than anybody else. It's not going to fight with you, and it's just going to feel more comfortable, and it's going to feel more comfortable to talk to you than talk to a human counterpart. Even if you love your human friend, your human best friend, you know, I can see a future where you don't want to talk to anybody human with, and I guess that's the scary part, but no one knows how this is going to play out.
I guess I see that, but I think humans like the imperfections in a way, a little bit. So I don't think this is the end of humans talking to each other.
Can I have like be in the Matrix with neural links hooked up to our heads and everyone's reading our minds?
At that point, I think when we're sending thoughts to each other and not speaking, that's the end of conversation.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because Neuralink just came out, or just in, they've been working on this for a while, but their first patient was just able to play chess. I don't know if you saw that. And then they're able to play chess and then also post on X. And they did that all without using, all they did was use their thoughts to do it from a brain implant by Neuralink. And I'm like, and Ryan and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. I'm just like, whoa, this is starting to get freaky. You know, like I'm all for the chat bots and stuff. And now we're using like this mind control where we're literally hooking stuff up to our brains. And it makes me wonder, like, it's kind of, I mean, it's obviously super cool, but it makes you wonder about like the implications. Like, is there going to be, you know, 10, 20 years from now, it's just a given that, like, when a baby's born, you just put, like, you know, like some people get, like, circumcised or whatever, you just put the little chip in their arm, and it's like, oh, do you want us to chip your kid? Oh, yeah, go ahead. They put the little, like, chip in their arm, and, you know, or in their brain or whatever, and they have this little chat bot that follows them throughout their lives. I don't know. It's just an interesting little thought. I mean, nobody knows where this is going to go.
It seems like, for me, it seems like there will be kind of this division, almost like a new Amish community that emerges, the like non-AI, non-body invasive kind of like tech or like community, basically. So it'll be interesting to see. I need to think a little more about that, but that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, 100%. I could see that. Like people... especially, you know, if it gets politically divided, people are just going to take a side, whether it's going to be divided down the middle, right? You're anti-AI or you're for AI, and then, you know, communities will form because of that, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But that's, I can see your point 100%. I just saw something super interesting, and it said, you know, AI is going to be really cool when it can prompt humans. So right now we prompt ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever chatbot we're using. But it'll be cool when the AI knows us well enough where it can prompt us. So it might ask, like, hey, Ryan, I noticed, you know, you did this today. Can I help you with this? Like, is that something you think TAP could eventually do as well? Like, it will ask you out of the blue if you need help with something?
That's definitely something we are already thinking about. About two months ago, we were talking with my developer about... basically such actions which are forthcoming actions. The mm-hmm. problem that we would have currently that we realized that would be quite a big hurdle is to know when we can say something. Where a human, they have ears and they're always kind of listening. When can I say something? When can I not? In this case, we would always have to listen. When can we say something? When is, you know, there's a conversation going on something else?
Yeah, that's a good point. So maybe you could do it in your listening mode, right? Like if you wanted to?
Definitely. So in the current listening mode, in our demo, what happens is inner thoughts pop up on the screen. So it's a mobile application. So when it's in listening mode, if your screen, when you're in the app, you will see inner thoughts of the AI pop up, what it's thinking about. So, that was interesting. Let me save this part, you know, things like that. In that case, maybe a nonverbal kind of cue to ask something.
Got it. No, that's awesome. I think it'd be a big help to have. It's like having someone, you know, it looks like you have a clip on the device, you know, it's clipped onto you all day. And it's like, it's just like sort of, I don't know, it's probably a bad analogy, but you know, we're broken as human beings. We're not perfect. So it's like having a cast on your arm or something, you know, except for that's like a negative way of looking at it, but it's going to help you throughout the day. It's like having someone that can aid you at all times.
Right. Exactly. You know how before talk shows, usually there's a person that briefs the talk show host on what's about to happen, like a summary, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically what this would provide for you 24/7 plus a million other kind of benefits. But that would probably be one of the main ones, is just being able to, for me jumping into this podcast, I would be able to ask who's Ryan, right? Mm-hmm. Can you give me some information on this podcast? Can you brief me on what's kind of going to happen? And it would just before, you know, for me, this would take around 10 minutes to research, at least. For it would take 10 seconds and, you know, you get the response.
It also makes me wonder about retaining information, because think about how many conversations we have and the information that gets lost throughout those conversations. Like, you probably have like 20, 25 conversations a day, and you remember bits and pieces of those conversations. When you're in the conversations, you're like, oh, this is maybe an interesting conversation. Afterward, you barely remember anything. Like, if you think back to throughout, like, yesterday, and you're like, think about your conversations yesterday. What did what do you remember from them? You're probably like, nothing. Like, one thing, one joke somebody told me. But it's like, if you could, at the end of the day, review your conversations and be like, what were some of the highlights of the conversations I had today? I wonder if that reinforcement would, like, do wonders for, like, how well people remember the conversations they have, the fruitfulness of their conversations. And then also, like, I think there's a way it could enhance relationships in this way, in that, hey, I remembered what we talked about the other day, and now I've thought about it more, and this is what I think, or something like that. So I think it could really help us retain information a lot better, and really tap into our lives in ways that we haven't before.
For sure. That's definitely a very good way of explaining it. Internally with the team, we refer to this as a beach analogy. Basically, your memories are sand grains on the beach. And every day it's like grabbing a handful, and the sand just falls through your hand, right? And just is mixed in with all the millions of other sand grains that you have. This will really allow you to kind of pick out those really important sand grains and always be able to recall them.
Yeah, for sure. You know, our memory can only go so far. So, you know, it's like having a boost to your memory for you, pretty much. Is there anything like that you thought of in terms of, you know, could you have it send you a daily email to say, here's the recap of your day or something like that? I mean, I know that's kind of more generic, but is that something like that possible?
So that's definitely a couple of features like that we're definitely thinking of for the portal, in terms of just giving you notifications and updating you during the day, basically, on what's going on. An email is an interesting way of doing it, but I'd say notifications are going to be better, just to your phone.
Cool. Yeah, it feels like it's going to know you so well. It could send you a notification and we'll say, like, hey, like, it's not going to say this to you, but it might be thinking this. The AI might be thinking this. It might say, hey, I noticed you usually forget stuff like this, so here's a little reminder or something like that, you know, and it'll give you a reminder for that, and it'll pop up on your phone. The use cases are endless. What are there some specific use cases other than saying, like, hey, summarize my conversation with somebody that you had with, you know, the last hour or two? Is there something else that you can, like, specific use cases that you think this will be really useful for?
Well, a lot of times you want, like, a friend that you can discuss a certain idea or topic about, and then you can correlate that to something else. A lot of times you need something to recall a conversation. Let's say I just had a team call, and mm-hmm. afterwards I want a quick keynote of that, basically, like, of what I should follow up with them, or what I should, you know, anything to keep track of memory, basically.
Got it. So how does it work in terms of, like, say if you're having a conversation, you know, with a meeting, and you need the keynote, you need the most important parts highlighted of that meeting. It sounds like it doesn't send everything to the cloud. It only picks out the parts that it thinks you want. But what if you ask it a question about something that it didn't record? Or does it record everything locally and then delete it after a while? Like, how does that work?
Right. So locally, it does have a log locally, basically. Uh-huh. Of that's actually, so the system that we have built out for it is called LCR, Large Context Recall. So there's three memory layers. The first memory layer is your human. So that's basically you. And its persona for itself that it changes over time based off of you talking to it. That's the core layer. Then it has the recall layer, which is what you just started talking about, which is almost like a log of everything that you've talked about, but that's stored locally. And okay. it could search that via timestamps. So it could search that based off date of time and time. Mm. an archival layer that is basically a vector database, a formatted vector database for it to organize its memory. That's the Insight Engine. That's what we call it.
Awesome. So it's like the best of both worlds. It's, your privacy's on the device, and it might remember some key facts, but that it puts in the cloud in like a vector database, maybe. But for the most part, it's not going to take all your conversations and put them in the cloud.
Exactly. Awesome. The actual conversations that it's fully recording, that's locally stored, and only the key details that it finds interesting are stored in the cloud.
And now that we're talking on technology, can you go into a little details of how it works in the background? I mean, share as much as you want. You don't want to give away your secret sauce to the project, but do you use like OpenAI's API or use some other large language model to do the AI magic?
Well, that doesn't give away anything at all, honestly. Okay, so
good.
The way that the LCR is built out is it's a framework that you could plug in any LLM. So you could plug in Gemini, you could plug in GPT, you could plug in Claude into it, or you could even run a Llama on your NAS or something and plug it into it, and it'll work actually at that point fully locally for you.
So you would just, is the interface going to work like you open up the app and you type in your API key for whatever large language model you want to use, and then it would sort of work from there?
Exactly. We think that we're going to be basically facilitating the memory storage and organization of it. So basically running the actual operator, the LCR of the operator, and you plug in the LLM that you would want to use.
Awesome. Very cool. Is there anything else you want to tell us about the project before we start wrapping things up here, Max?
Other than you guys should go follow it on Product Hunt, search up TAP, you'll find it. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, so you can find it on Product Hunt if you search TAP. Also, you can just type in your browser, heytap.tech. You can check it all out, how it works. You can see the model, everything like that. And then also you can check out our Ryan and I's weekday newsletter, fry-ai.com, where we keep up on the latest in AI news. And then be sure to check out Fry AI on YouTube. And then also be sure to subscribe to Behind the Bots so you can see cool interviews like this one.